Hi, this is Osho Radio from Amsterdam, Holland. The lecture today is a beautiful Sufi story, and the subject is about idols. Osho is saying, if you have to choose an idol, please choose the right idol, because if you choose the wrong idol, you can start on a path that is going nowhere or even in a wrong direction. So, what is the right idol? The right idol means choose an idol that represents life. Many religions have been doing the opposite, and this is what Osho will be talking about. And also he will talk about children's liberation. The day that children's liberation will happen will be a great day. Thank you.
Ayaz was the boon companion and a slave of the great conqueror Mahmud, the idol breaker, monarch of Ghazna. Meditate on each important word used in this parable. Islam does not believe in idols. But that has been misunderstood by the Mohammedans. It is one thing not to believe in idols. It is another thing to start destroying other people's idols. In fact, to destroy somebody's idol is a negative belief in the idol. Otherwise, why you should be concerned? It is none of your business. Mahmud was a fanatic Mohammedan. He destroyed many temples of this country. His whole life work was to destroy temples and idols. And he was thinking that he is doing a great service to God. That's how one can misunderstand great truths. Muhammad is right when he says that there is no possibility to make an idol of God. Moses also says the same thing. There is no possibility of making any idol of God. Because God is vast, immense. How can you make a representation of Him? If you want to worship Him as He is, in the mountains, in the trees, in the stars, in the clouds. He is all over. Only He is. La ilaha illallah. There is nobody except Him. There is no need to make an stone idol or a wood image. It is pointless. And this is something of immense value. But Mohammedans miss the whole point. They started breaking other people's idols. If God is everywhere, then he must be in the idols too. Now look it from another standpoint. If God is everywhere, then how he cannot be in an idol? Then he is in a stone idol too. If he is in the ordinary rock, why he is not in a carved rock? There is no need to destroy anybody's idol or anybody's temple. And you still go on making temples. What is a mosque? A temple without any idol of God. But then the mosque itself becomes the idol. When people pass by the side of the mosque, they become very respectful. They bow down. It is no ordinary house. What is the difference between an ordinary house and a mosque? From where comes the extraordinariness of the mosque? It has become an idol. It has already become the house of God. It is already a temple, just the mosque is without an idol. But deep down, it itself has become the idol. Mahmud converted many temples into mosques. It is simple. Destroy the idol and the temple becomes the mosque. And he was thinking he is serving God. Many times, great truths in the hands of foolish people become dangerous. It is like a sword in the hands of a child. And that has been happening again and again. Great truths have fallen into the hands of stupid people. And then those great truths have become the sources of much misery in the world. And what is Kaaba, where Mohammedans go from all over the world? It is a stone. In fact, no other stone has been worshipped so much as the stone of Kaaba. No other stone has been kissed so much as the stone of Kaaba. Millions and millions of people every year go on pouring into Kaaba, kissing the stone. If kissing makes something dirty, then that stone must have become the dirtiest. Because millions of people must be transferring many kinds of infections through their kisses. Because in a single kiss, at least 100,000 germs pass. Beware. And what is this all nonsense of kissing a stone? It is the same old trick. You have broken idols. Now you are worshipping a stone. Man is so foolish that it goes on remaining the same, although it goes on changing its labels. A Hindu becomes a Mohammedan, A Mohammedan becomes a Christian becomes a Jew becomes a Jaina, but no difference ever, just the label. Understanding is not just a change of the label. It is a change of the heart. It is a change of vision and perspective. Ayaz was the boon companion and a slave of the great conqueror Mahmud, the idol breaker, monarch of Ghazna. He had first come to the court as a beggarly slave, and Mahmud made him his advisor and friend. This is the story of every person. When you enter into the world, you enter as a beggarly slave. Why? Because a child comes into the world utterly helpless. The child cannot survive if he is not supported by others. If the parents and the family don't support the child, he comes as a beggar. He is continuously begging for food, for warmth, for care. And he is so helpless that he is a slave. And because of this situation, parents, the society, the state, the church have exploited children down the ages. They give him food, they give him nourishment and support, but on conditions. They make many conditions on the child. And he has to accept those conditions because he is helpless. It is a question of survival. The child cannot say no. He will not be able to survive at all by saying no. He has to say yes. That is his slavery. And we have not yet become so human. Not yet so capable that we can avoid exploiting small children. Children are the most exploited people of the world. Just as there now a great movement arising in the world, women's lib, someday children's lib will be needed. Children have suffered tremendously. Nobody else has suffered like that. And it is almost impossible how to take them out of this structure, because they are dependent, they are helpless. And the parents think they love, but love is not love if it is conditional. The parents try to transform the child into a Christian or a Mohammedan or a Hindu. This is a game of politics you are playing on your poor child. You condition his mind. You tell him what is right and what is wrong. You yourself don't know. You condition his mind whether God exists or not. You yourself have not inquired. You go on pouring your all kinds of rubbish knowledge in the child's head. Before he becomes aware, all these things would have taken root in him. They will create confusion in him, neurosis in him. He will suffer his whole life because of your so-called love. It was not love in the first place. The child was helpless and you enjoyed helping him. Because when you help somebody, you feel great. The helpless person gives you comparatively the idea that you are strong. That's why people love sympathizing. People love very much. If you are in trouble, people love it very much to sympathize with you, because then they are higher and you are lower. Then they are fortunate and you are unfortunate. They never come to participate in your joy. If you make a beautiful house, nobody comes to participate in your joy, to celebrate. But if your house is on fire, acquaintances and non-acquaintances all come to sympathize with you. Deep down, they are enjoying it. You are in trouble. And they are not in trouble. God has been good to them. Deep down they know why you have suffered, because of your sins, because all the wrong things that you have done. This is exactly what should have happened to you. You deserved it. But on the surface, they are sympathizing with you. And they never had participated in your joy. They were jealous. When you are happy, people are jealous. And if people are jealous when you are happy, how they can be sympathizers when you are unhappy? That is very illogical. It makes no sense. The person who is jealous when you are happy will be happy when you are unhappy. That is logical. But he will show sympathy. Deep down he will feel very happy that now you are cut to size. Now you have been forced to be in your place. Now you know who you are. But on the surface they sympathize. People enjoy children very much because they are helpless. And they give you an idea that you are strong, powerful. And you do all kinds of power trips with your children. You try to make them your imitators. You try to force your ideals on them. You try to make them replicas of you. And you know perfectly well that you are unhappy, miserable. Still you go on making replicas of you. Hence the world remains in misery. Because parents create the children. They were miserable. They create miserable people again. Each father wants his son to be like him. And each mother wants her daughter to be like her. This is the pattern how misery continues. This is how there seems to be no possibility to make human beings happy. Somewhere, the continuity has to be broken. If the parents really love the child, one thing is certain. They will not help the child to be like themselves. They know perfectly well they have lived in misery, they have suffered enough. At least they will try in every way that the child should not be like them, so that he never suffers. Or at least he should try some other way of being. Who knows, he may not suffer. But one thing is certain, that he should not be like us. That must be the basic understanding of a really loving parent. He will give his love, but he will not give his knowledge. He will give all care and caressing to the child, but he will not impose his ideology on him. He will not make him a Christian, a Catholic, Protestant, Hindu, Mohammedan, communist, etc. He will leave the child to be himself. He will share his experiences but he will not enforce them. He will be friendly to the child. He will not play the game of power on the child. But that's what is being done. That's why I say every child comes in the world as a beggarly slave. Ayaz had come first to the court as a beggarly slave, and Mahmud made him his advisor and friend. We come in the world as empty canvas, and then something is painted on us. We come utterly empty and blank, then something is written on us. We become something in the world. We come as nothings. We come as nobodies, then we become somebody. That somebodiness is accidental. That somebodiness is not your essence. That is not your original face. That is only your personality. That is not your individuality. And personality is very deceptive. It deceives you. You start thinking that this is your individuality. Remember the difference between the personality and the individuality. Personality is that which is conferred upon you by the society, by the people who bring you up. Individuality is that which you bring in the world with yourself. Individuality means your original face. Personality means the mask, the painted face. Nobody comes as a Christian or a Hindu. Hence, Christianity and Hinduism that are imposed upon you are part of your personality. They are not part of your essence, your essential core. Nobody comes in the world with adjectives. All adjectives are added to you. People come in the world as beautiful empty zeros, and then everything is added. All that is added is not you, and you become too much identified with it. Remember again and again who you are, and don't be identified with that which has been added to you. Don't be identified with the persona, with the mask, with the idea implanted in you about yourself. This is the religious revolution. Not to be identified with the personality, and continuously reminding oneself, who am I? The other courtiers were jealous of Ayaz and observed his every movement, intending to denounce him for some shortcoming, thus encompassing his downfall. That's how this world is. This whole world is political. And everybody is jealous of everybody else. And the more you succeed, the more you will have enemies in the world. The more you are famous, the more people will be against you. And this is an obvious thing. They also want to be famous, and they have failed, and you have attained. They will take revenge. They are angry at you. They will rationalize their anger. They will find faults with you. If they cannot find, they will invent. Because just to be enraged with you without any reason will make their jealousy very apparent. They have to hide their jealousy. They have to give it a beautiful camouflage. At least a beautiful form on the outside. The other courtiers were jealous of Ayaz, and it was the court of Mahmud. He himself was a very violent, stupid person. And there have been many stupid people, violent, ambitious in his court. His court must have reflected him. And the politicians are the most jealous people, because their whole life depends on being successful, famous, powerful. Their whole longing is to be more and more powerful. They are constantly at each other's throats. Unless politics becomes less and less powerful, war cannot be avoided. It is a natural outcome of the political game. Unless politics loses importance, it can lose. The only way out of the political trap is make people more and more free, economically, politically, spiritually. Decentralize power. But the whole trend is just going into the opposite direction. States are becoming more and more powerful. And they are hiding their power greed, their lust for power, behind beautiful names. They call it nationalization. Then it looks very good. Nationalization is a good thing. But all that it means is more power to the state. Nationalize the banks. Nationalize the industries. Nationalize agriculture. So more and more power goes to the state. State becomes the only owner. And when the whole economy is controlled by the state, then there is no freedom left. And naturally the politician becomes more and more powerful. As the state becomes powerful, the prime minister, the president becomes powerful. The only way to take away the power of the politicians is denationalize things. Give more and more things to people to do on their own. All nationalizations should disappear. Even railways, post office and things like that should be run by people themselves. Government need not come in. Slowly, slowly, power has to be withdrawn from politics. Then the politician will automatically be neglected. He will lose importance. Spread the power to people more and more. Slowly, slowly, all work has to be withdrawn from the politics. Only leave the essentials. And the essentials are not very many. There is only one hope for the world. If politics becomes less powerful, then the world can live at peace. Otherwise, it is impossible. The whole foundation of politics is jealousy, greed, lust. Politics is a violent struggle. And naturally the courtiers must have been very jealous. Suddenly Ayas became the most important person in the court. And the reason why Ayas became the most important person in the court was his simplicity, his non-politicalness, his nobodiness, his fakr. And somewhere deep down was Jikr. He was a Sufi. He had a subtle radiance, almost invisible, but it still affects people. More so because it is invisible, so you cannot defend yourself. Ayas was a Sufi. He has wandered all over the earth as a poor man, poor in the spirit, constantly remembering about his source. That's how suddenly he became so important in Mahmud's court. And he was a very cheerful person, always happy. He was like a rose flower. Just to be with him, just to be in his presence, would have made anybody cheerful. He had a vibe.
the meditation for this week, which I just pick at random from my Samasati. The meditation is called Choiceless Awareness. How can it be otherwise? Something we just have been talking about in this program. If you become acquainted with death through love and meditation, by and by you will see that life and death are two aspects of the same coin. Then you are not worried. Then you don't choose. Then you live a life of choiceless awareness. Then all is the same. If you choose life, you have chosen death. If you avoid death, you will avoid life. If you avoid death, you will avoid life. So there is no point in choosing, and there is no point in avoiding. This was Osho Radio for this week. We will meet again. Thank you for listening, and have a great week. Bye-bye.
Mother of a thousand sons, home to everyone who sleeps in your arms. India, India, show me the golden rule. I'm coming home to you, deep in my heart. With the oceans lapping at your feet, as the waves roll in, whisper in my ears, sweet songs of nothing, and I disappear. India, India, you are such a surprise, magic still alive, forever mesmerized. India, India, keeper of eternal flames, land of many names, the golden bird never tames. With the oceans lapping at your feet, as the waves roll in, they whisper in my ears, sweet songs of nothing, and I disappear. India, India, incredible India, 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 incredible India. India, India, Weave your silver lines into our hearts, let it shine wherever we go. India, India, as I travel in you, you are traveling in me, sailing the same destiny. With the oceans lapping at your feet, as the waves roll in, whisper in my ears, sweet songs of nothing, and I disappear. India, India, mother of a thousand suns. India, India, home to everyone. India, India, incredible India. India, India, namaste.